called a vicious circle, and in consequence nearly lost my home, my reputation, and a great deal of money. So begins an article in today's Telegraph by the writer Amanda Craig, seated over there. She was accused of libel by an ex-boyfriend claiming to be one of the characters in her novel, based on superficial similarities, including the make of a particular pair of shoes. Her publishers dropped the book. The novelist Jake Arnott was sued for libel and his novel pulped because he was unlucky enough to call a fictional musician in his novel Tony Rocco, unaware that there really was a musician called Tony Rocco. It isn't only science, but also culture that is affected by the libel laws. Simply put, if writers are to police the overlapping area between imagination and memory for every pair of shoes, a kind of paralysis sets in. That paralysis has a name, self-censorship. But the chilling effect of the libel laws go beyond self-censorship. Publishers must spend huge amounts of money fighting legal cases. The money spent on lawyers means less money available for actual books. This doesn't mean less money for the big authors who publishers are desperate to hang on to. It's the newer voices, the quieter voices, the experimental and already marginalized voices who find themselves shut out. In the case of smaller publishing houses, there is no money for legal cases. They can be wiped out by a single accusation, or else choose to take the most conservative possible approach to publishing, minimizing all risk, to keep the shadow of libel from their door. The risk-minimizing attitude of the publishing houses is a danger to freedom of expression. Kafka once spoke of fiction as an axe for the frozen sea inside us. Without a proper public interest defense and measures to dispense with trivial claims, the libel laws are in danger of freezing the axe itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and to time.